From London, BBC Caribbean Report.
An American company buys into Guyana's telecommunications in a big way. Grenada's Prime Minister raises his concerns over the CET, and a former director of the U.S. Commerce Department says...
The Caribbean has perceived in Washington as being a group of disparate, argumentative, small countries of no real importance to the United States, either politically or commercially.
I'm Leslie Goff, and this is BBC Caribbean Report. An American company has just bought an 80% share in Guyana's telecommunications system. The company is promising a noticeable improvement of the badly run-down system, which has been a major setback to businesses and thousands of other subscribers. This report from Sharif Khan in Georgetown.
The Atlantic Telenetwork ATM company, based in the U.S. Virgin Islands, has paid $16.5 million for 80% of the shares in the new company, replacing the state-owned entity. It will also be spending $10.5 million over 3 years to improve the system and take in 20,000 more subscribers. The chairman of the U.S. company, Mr. Jeffrey Prosser, told reporters here his firm has an exclusive license for 20 years and could renew this for another 20 years after.
The main objective of our undertaking is to rapidly improve the quality of the country's telephone and telegraph service, especially call completions and trunking capacity to the U.S., Canada, and the U.K. Improving the quality of existing cable plans so that we can provide subscribers with a service with significantly reduced faults, and to complete the planning and engineering works for the expansion of the service in Georgetown and its environs, and satellite links to the other important population centers, and also to key hinterland locations.
ATN Chairman Jeffrey Prosser. He says the 1,200 people employed by the state in the system will be retained by his company for at least 18 months, and their salaries and working conditions are to be improved. There are no public payphones in Guyana, and the new owners say they will almost immediately begin putting down some. Mr. Prosser says ATN will be establishing 220 payphones in and around Georgetown over 3 years. In Georgetown, Sharif Khan for BBC Caribbean Report.
The International Secretary of Guyana's opposition People's Progressive Party, Clement Rohi, yesterday met with officials of the Foreign and Commonwealth Office here in London. Mr. Rohi requested the meeting to express his party's concerns about the process of electoral reforms in Guyana. The PPP is accusing the government of dragging its feet on the completion of a new voters list. It is also demanding the establishment of an independent elections commission and a wider range of election observer teams from outside of Guyana. Mr. Rohi said the FCO officials lent a sympathetic ear, but made it clear the British government would not be prepared to link future aid to the holding of free and fair elections. He said the FCO expressed confidence in the Commonwealth observer team that has been officially invited to observe the poll. No date has yet been announced for the Guyana elections. As far as the United States policymakers are concerned, the Caribbean is no longer an area of strategic interest. As a result, levels of U.S. aid and investment in the region will continue to fall. That assessment comes from Dr. Timothy Ashby, who until recently was director of the Mexico and Caribbean office in the U.S. Department of Commerce. Dr. Ashby is currently in London, and last night, at the invitation of the West India Committee, he addressed a discussion group on U.S. policy in the Caribbean. Dr. Ashby says with Grenada now stable and with Soviet-Cuba relations disintegrating, the United States no longer sees the region as one that could threaten its own interests. He says the United States is now much more concerned with bringing Mexico into its free trade area along with Canada. And as Dr. Ashby told Hugh Crosskill, to a large degree, Caribbean decision makers have only themselves to blame.
The Caribbean is falling down and not organizing itself into a collective organization, both for lobbying purposes and to gain the voice of the United States, the private sector in the U.S. and also the public sector in the U.S. The Caribbean is perceived in Washington as being a group of disparate, argumentative, small countries of no real importance to the United States, either politically or commercially. I think the Caribbean should do more to organize its efforts, and a collective voice should be heard. I think that they, collectively the Caribbean should seek active membership in the Enterprise for the Americas and membership in some sort of a long-term North American free trade area, as Mexico is doing and also as Central America is doing. If the Caribbean is left out now, it will never have the chance to get in once this becomes reality.
How do you see that sort of divisiveness showing up when Caribbean leaders actually go to Washington to lobby? Are they talking on a regional basis, as they do when they're in the region, speaking to, you know, the regional people? But when they come to Washington, do they take on that regional view?
In my experience, that when we would meet with individual leaders from the Caribbean, that they would say, what can you do for my country? What can you do for Jamaica or Grenada or St. Lucia or Barbados? Not what can you do overall for the Caribbean? And there was frustration expressed by senior U.S. officials because Caribbean leaders were more wont to ask for aid than to address other problems, grassroots type of efforts that they could do themselves.